Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free. Today, I am so excited to welcome to our show, Paige Panzarello. Having been a real estate investor and entrepreneur for over 20 years, Paige has experienced many facets of real estate investing. Her experience includes founding and running her own residential and commercial construction and acquisition company, buy and hold residential and commercial real estate investing, tax deeds and liens investing, and fix and flip residential remodeling, and other forms to name a few. She currently focuses on non-performing notes that she purchases all across the United States. Whether in residential or commercial real estate in California, Arizona, or nationwide, Paige has been successful in completing over $150 million in real estate transactions to date. Wow. Welcome to the show, Paige. How are you?
Monica, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to hear all about notes. So let's start with your story. Tell us kind of where you've been.
Yeah. As you said, I've been a real estate investor for over 20 years. And I started my real estate investing career a little differently than most people. I literally was thrown into the deep end of the pool by virtue of inheritance. I knew nothing about real estate investing or real estate period, much less investing. And my grandmother passed away and she had a rather sizable estate, half of which was in California and half of which was in Arizona. And so off I went at a very young age to Arizona, knowing nothing about real estate or real estate investing, and quickly learned we had 38 townhome units that were only about 40% occupied. We had a sewer treatment plant and we had some land. And I knew nothing about anything. And unfortunately, the estate was about $4 million in debt.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So really thrown into the deep end of the pool. And I just learned quickly that all I had to do was really ask questions and surround myself with people that had the answers. And I was really good at that. I was also really good at doing what I said I was going to do. So if I said I was going to do something and I asked the people that we owed money to, I asked them to work with me and they did. But the flip side is that I was able to do what I said I was going to do. So I quickly built a reputation, a good one, which was paramount. I was able in 3 years to turn the properties around and we brought it back into the black in about 3 years. And I realized that because we were in a boutique market in Arizona, I realized that we weren't going to be able to sustain profitability. So I went to my family and I said, I want to build on the land. I want to sell the units and I want to sell the sewer treatment plant. They were all for selling the sewer treatment plant, by the way.
I'm actually not surprised about that.
And then I wanted to leverage that and go into building the land. And my family said, I don't want any part of that. And so I said, okay, well, I want to buy the company, which I did. So I started to develop the land, and I had hired a contractor. And I realized very quickly that he was going to bankrupt me before I was even coming out of the ground. So I fired him, and I found somebody else that would be my qualifying party. And I started a construction company, knowing nothing about construction. And I set the pace to put us on the fast track. And we were rocking and rolling. In 3 years' time, we had 36 employees. We held all of our licenses except HVAC and roofing. And the reason that we didn't have those is because the insurance was just way too high. And we were building our own projects. We were building everybody else's projects. And it was great. Except that even at that young age, I was exhausted. And I was working myself 18 hours a day, 7 days a week into an early grave. But I was making money hand over fist. I had a lot of assets. I had a lot of liquidity. And I thought I was having a good time. And then 2007 happened. And when the crash came, the funny thing is that I actually saw it coming. But I was naive in the fact that I thought, oh, this is not going to happen to me because I'm only leveraged about 10%, right? But I was wrong. It happened right on top of my head because everybody that owed me money, their funding froze up, right? So I was in the unique position that I did not have to go through a bankruptcy to discharge the debts that I owed. I actually sold off everything that I owned. I had liquidity. I had cash. It took me about 3 years, but I paid everybody off. I had to fire sale everything. And at the end of the day, I lost $20 million. That has a tendency.
You lost $20 million.
$20 million.
Yeah. Oh my God.
2007. I walked away with my head held high, and that was really important to me. I still have investors that I work with today because of that. And I wanted to make everybody else whole. That was important to me. Of course, I walked away from real estate investing for a little while. I came back in, and I came back in like everybody else. I had to rebuild. I didn't have the money to put together, but I did have a really good brain for real estate. I love it. I have a passion for it, and I have a passion for helping people. So I went the same route that everybody goes, wholesaling, fixing and flipping, some buy and hold as you grow, tax liens and tax deeds. And I was also looking into and studying non-performing notes. And about a year after I started studying it, I bought my first one. It was just angels sang for me. I have to tell you, when you lose $20 million, that has a tendency to shape you as an investor. And I know all of my risk tolerances. I know exactly where I'm going. And when I landed in the note space, I was ecstatic because it has everything that I possibly want as an investor. So I never looked back.
Wow. That is quite a story. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about notes.
Absolutely. So notes basically are just your promise to pay. There's a variety of different kinds of notes that you can buy. I focus on first position, meaning I'm the first one to get paid. First position, non-performing notes that are secured by residential real estate. You can buy notes that are against cars. You can buy notes that are credit card debt. All of those things are promises to pay, right? When you finance anything, that's your promise to pay. That's a note. Mm-hmm. I focus in the non-performing space as opposed to the performing space. The performing space is just that the borrower is actually paying their monthly payment. The non-performing space is where the borrower has stopped paying their monthly payment. And my notes, again, are secured by residential real estate.
Okay. So why would you do non-performing?
Sounds crazy.
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah, it does. I'm like, what?
I get that a lot. Why on earth would you buy a non-performing note when someone just stopped paying? Well, the answer is a variety of different reasons. But the biggest one is that we get a really big discount. So when you buy something at a steep discount, you build in a cushion of equity. And that gives you power and control where you can mitigate your risk. And after 2007, I was all about power and control and mitigating risk.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay, good. Ladies, stay tuned for more great conversation and amazing nuggets from our guest. And for now, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. Hello, ladies. Like me, Chris Larson was a professional who started investing over 2 decades ago. After managing his own portfolio of single-family rentals for more than a decade, he discovered what now he calls the holy grail of real estate, multifamily or investing in apartments. In his book, he shares his story of how he created enough passive income to walk away from his six-figure career in medical sales at the age of 38. It's a blueprint to shortcut the process that took him 15 years to figure out and has allowed him to go from not taking a day off for months to now getting to control his time and spend every possible minute being a part of his 10-year-old son's childhood. Learn how you can invest like the rich to create true freedom for yourself by getting a free copy of his book at nextlevelincome.com/bliss, where he'll send you a copy of his book for free. That's nextlevelincome.com/bliss. So as an investor, can you make money with non-performing notes? Like, how does that work?
Absolutely. So as I said, when we buy a non-performing note, there is a face value of the note. So the unpaid principal balance is also called the UPB. Let's say that's $100,000, right? But the current market value of the property is only $80,000. That note is underwater. Those borrowers are underwater. When I buy a note, I buy it based on the current market value of the securing collateral, also known as the house, right? Which is currently $80,000. And I'll buy it at a deep discount from there. It used to be we were able to buy notes anywhere between 40 and 50%, sometimes even a little less. Now it's hovering around 55 to 60%. Still quite a nice size equity cushion, right? Mm-hmm. So for that same $80,000 house, I'm spending $45,000 for the note, thereby and building in a huge equity cushion. But the borrower still owes me $100,000 because unpaid principal balance is $100,000. So I have a lot of flexibility and maneuverability to work with that borrower to either get them to reperform and start paying on their mortgage, or sometimes our borrowers will give us what's called a deed in lieu of foreclosure. So they just don't want the house anymore, but they don't want the foreclosure on their record. And so they'll just deed us the property as payment in full. And I can turn around and sell that house for $80,000 because that's the current market value of the property. So that's how I make money as a note investor in buying non-performing notes. The best part, though, is if we get it to reperform, not only am I generating chunks of cash, I'm also generating streams of monthly cash flow. So I'm actually creating two different avenues of money coming into my pocket in the same vehicle, which is tremendous as far as I'm concerned.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, how does that work?
In terms of the reperformance or in terms of the exit strategies? Because we have 23 different exit strategies in note investing. Yes. Also, again, remember, I'm risk averse. So that way, with 23 different exit strategies that are available, we're able to mitigate that risk. But were you asking, Monica, of the reperforming situation, how we generate chunks and streams of cash?
I was, yes.
Okay, so getting a borrower to reperform is actually my favorite exit strategy that we use. And it happens about a third of the time. So we generally only use 4 main exit strategies, but we still have 23 at our avail. Everybody knows about foreclosure. That's one of our exit strategies, and sometimes we have to. Short sale. Just about everybody knows what a short sale is. So, mm-hmm. You know, if the 100,000 and the borrower comes to us and says, I have somebody that's willing to buy it for 80. Will you accept it? How fast do you think I'm going to say yes?
Pretty quick. Yeah.
Deed in lieu of foreclosure, I've already explained. And the reperforming situation is my favorite. So the borrower comes to us and through our loss mitigation team. Now, this is something, understand, Monica, that I have a team in place. We have direct contact with our borrowers, because I've got a very, very big heart and everybody's got a story, right?
Right.
So I am not a licensed debt collector, okay? The team that I pay, they are licensed debt collectors. They know all the CFPB rules and regulations, and it's well worth the small fee that I pay them per asset per month to deal directly with our borrowers. So they're kind of the liaison. So through our team, we talk with our borrowers and they let us know that they want to stay. Well, let's say that that same unpaid principal balance, $100,000, The house is only worth 80 and they haven't paid for 2 or 3 years. And we actually get a lot of these, haven't paid 2, 3, 4, even sometimes longer. So they now owe us another $20,000 between arrearage and maybe we have fronted some property taxes so we don't lose our collateral that's securing our invested dollars, right? So let's say the total amount due, the total legal balance is 120, but the house is only worth 80. So they're $40,000 in the hole. They say they want to stay. They had a medical condition, whatever. Now they can pay. So we are in a position where we can go to that borrower and say, okay, we are willing to eventually, we do this through what's called a forbearance agreement. We don't do a permanent loan modification immediately. The borrower hasn't paid for a while. They have to have a little skin in the game. So we will say to them, we are going to require a reinstatement fee. And it's usually somewhere around $2,500 to $5,000, depending. And believe me when I tell you, when people want to stay in their home, they figure out a way to come up with that money. There's that chunk of cash, right? And we will say to them, okay, we will put on hold the $40,000 that is kind of underwater. We will do the forbearance agreement and a trial payment plan. You pay your reinstatement fee. We can do so many different things. We can lower interest rates. We can lower payments. We can create a new amortization schedule so we can stretch out their payments and make their payments lower. We can forgive some of the principal balance. So we will work out a payment plan that works for that borrower, that works for us in terms of our numbers as well. And if they pay for the first 4 to 6 on time every time, we will take half of that $40,000 and forgive it. Okay. And then if they pay on time every time for the next 4 to 6 months, we will forgive the other half. And then at that point, we will put a permanent modification in place at $80,000, which is the current market value of the property. It is a more manageable mortgage for our borrower, right? At $80,000. Mm-hmm. We've created a chunk of cash in the beginning of this whole process. We've monthly cash flowed every single month. So there's your streams of cash. And at the end of the 12 months, we have a decision to make because we now have it what's called a seasoned note. And there are plenty of note investors that are out there that just like the performing notes because they like the monthly cash flow, but they don't want to be a landlord. They don't want the tenants and toilets, right?
Right.
So they are willing to buy that performing seasoned note from us. We slightly discount it to another note investor, but they're willing to buy that close to par, which is close to the $80,000. We'll discount it a little bit and give them an equity cushion. But you can see how that's very profitable. Or we can hold on to it and keep cash flowing it. And we do choose to do that as well.
Interesting. Okay, so that's your exit strategy.
One of the 23, right? Yes. That's my favorite because it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And I can totally see you saying that you have a big heart. You really want people to be able to keep their homes. And I feel the same way. It's really beautiful.
Especially after the 2007 crash. I've had life happen to me. And again, sometimes I have to take off my heart hat and put on my hard hat. Yeah. And that's never fun to do. But yeah, I mean, my goal is to set out to help people. And I'm in a position by becoming the bank as a note investor to do that for those that qualify. And not everybody qualifies, but absolutely. That's a big thing for me.
Yeah, for me too, I have to say. So that's lovely. You told us a little bit about exit strategy, but why don't you walk us through the steps of acquiring a non-performing note?
Well, okay. Acquiring a non-performing note is very similar to any other type of real estate investing. And there are two things that everybody looks for in real estate investing. One is deals and the other is money. note investing is no different. So really, it's just about your network and networking. I like to think of note investing as a more gentle form of real estate investing. There is competition, but it's not nearly as fierce as the fix and flip market. You need to network. As everybody knows, your net worth is determined by your network. So you need to get out there, start asking questions, start talking to people, go to RIA meetings, join Bigger Pockets, listen to podcasts. All those things are really important to get you into the note space. And the interesting thing about the note space is that the asset managers, and I use that word kind of as an all-encompassing word, right? These are the people that handle portfolios for a variety of different sources, banks, hedge funds, other note investors, smaller commercial banks or community banks, credit unions, et cetera. All of the asset manager is the one that handles the portfolio and the disposition of the assets. So asset managers in the note space, it's very collaborative. As you develop your relationship and your reputation with these asset managers, they will actually introduce you to other asset managers, which blew me away the first time that that happened to me. I thought, oh my gosh, why on earth would he do that? You would think that there would be a lot more competition, but there isn't. And that's really great too, because if you do what you say you're going to do in the note space, and by the way, that is really, really paramount. Please do not waste these asset managers' time. They do not like it and you won't get any more product. But as long as you develop that relationship, they will actually help to catapult you to the next level.
That's actually true with everybody. Do what you say you're going to do. It's also interesting how we don't do what we say we're going to do for ourselves. You know, like there's one thing about do what you say you're going to do for other people, but what about for yourself too? And that's part of building a blissful wealth empire is keeping your commitments to yourself, making yourself a priority, making your promises a priority to yourself and to others.
You're so right. And that's such a hard thing for entrepreneurs because as entrepreneurs, we put everybody else in front of us all the time. And it's almost like we feel guilty if we take a spa day.
Right. And there's other ways. So yes, in the take care of yourself, right? That's very important. And the other thing is I'm committed to learning about real estate. And these are the steps that I'm going to take. And instead of putting off those steps is keeping those promises. Yes. Today, I'm going to research notes, or today I'm going to send an email to this person to further that business, right? And so much of the time, pieces of this can be intimidating. It can be scary. They can feel overwhelming. And so instead of keeping our promise, we procrastinate.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that slowly chips away at our self-confidence, right?
Absolutely.
So on all levels, whether it's, whether it's for your business or for yourself or for your family, keep your promises to yourself and to the people around you.
Absolutely.
So tell me, what is the most rewarding part of investing in notes?
Well, as I said, I really get to create win-win situations for everybody. If I can help a borrower to reperform and stay in their home, that I have to say is really the most rewarding for me. We've had situations where we've had families and single moms that have a couple kids that went through a divorce and the big banks just didn't care. And we came in and we were able to help keep that family, that single mom and her kids in their home. And that is so fulfilling and so rewarding to me, more so than any amount of money. It really just, having gone through and had life happen to me, that's just the most rewarding part for me all day long.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. I love that. Ladies, haven't you loved hearing Paige talk about her notes investing strategy? Do you want to learn more from her? Well, you can. Learn how to create real wealth with real estate-backed non-performing notes from June 10th to 12th. That's just a couple of weeks. In Paige's three-day hands-on, interactive, virtual, and packed with information event, you will learn how to get started investing in notes so you can grow your nest egg, achieve your goals faster, retire early with peace of mind, create chunks of cash and streams of monthly cash flow. The options are endless, and you'll be helping people stay in their homes. Ladies, in the green room before the show, Paige mentioned that this is the only event she's offering this year. So don't miss it. Otherwise, you'll have to wait a long time to get this opportunity again. So take action now, so you can take advantage of this market. The opportunities in notes right now is just staggering. So see what all the buzz is about and reserve your seat now at blissfulinvestor.com/notes. Again, that's blissfulinvestor.com/notes. And the virtual live event is from June 10th to 12th. Okay, Paige, so are you ready for our three rapid fire questions?
I am.
Okay, perfect.
I am.
So, tell us one super tip on getting started in real estate investing.
Take action. You can educate yourself till the cows come home, but if you have analysis paralysis, you are never going to go anywhere. So you've got to put action behind the desire. And that's how you start.
Love that. And what is one strategy on being successful in real estate investing?
Oh, this is a big one. Okay. So to be successful, you have got to make the deal conform to you and who you are as an investor, not the other way around. Do not ever conform to a deal. You set the guidelines, you set the outline, you set the bullet points and what is your good risk tolerance, and make the deal conform to you. Do not conform to the deal.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Thank you so much. Huh? And then what is one daily practice that you do, Paige, that you would say contributes to your personal success?
Integrity. I have integrity. We're all human. We all make mistakes. I don't ever try and pull the wool over somebody's eyes. If I make a mistake, I own up to it. And people know when you're dealing with people and teams and money and emotions, there's a big swirling around of all of that. And really just as long as you stand in integrity and you behave that way, people will be understanding because life does happen. Mistakes are made. But don't lie to people and don't try and pull the wool over their eyes. Just stand in your integrity, own up to it. And believe me, you will have more forgiveness and a better, stronger relationship if you behave in that way. And that's just how I conduct not only my business, but my life.
Awesome. That's so good. Thank you so much for all of your words of wisdom for my audience. This show has been amazing.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And ladies, seriously, don't miss Paige's upcoming 3-day virtual live event. Again, it's from June 10 to 12. It'll be a long time before she's going to be doing this again, so don't miss it. Sign up now at blissfulinvestor.com/notes. And thank you so much for joining Paige and I for this show. I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart most deeply desires.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.